Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Having some technical issues this morning, and so I am on the phone. We're efforting to get Louie on the phone, and we'll have to see how this plays out going forward.
Oh, welcome in to the show. It's the 5 o'clock hour on the Round Table. Thanks to Phil Baker for hanging out for the first few hours there. Zach Cantrell hanging out with me. We'll have Andy Sweeney live in Indianapolis, 107.5 The Fan here in just a moment. Let me tell you about our good friends at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. They always sponsor the 5 o'clock hour. They did so when Andy and I were doing the take together, back in the day, approaching a year on Andy's departure coming up here soon. So, yeah, crazy to think about. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but 27 area locations, walk-in, drive-through, delivery, Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. That's Louisville's go-to liquor store. If you missed buy three, get one free cigar Wednesdays yesterday, have no fear. They'll be back next week, and they have all the alcohol, beverages, party supplies you need for your summer pool party or barbecue. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. That's Cox'sLouisville.com. 437-9680 EPS Jobs text line. Andy Sweeney with us, our guy in Indy. Hello, Andy. Good afternoon.
Fellas, good to hear your voice. Great to hear that Bob promo. I see not much has changed with Bobby V.
No.
Still complaining about people being under the table at 12:11 when we started the show, inevitably. So,
yes.
You know, we got to love it. You know, I mean, come on. Goodness, you mentioned nearly a year. I'm glad that's still going.
Yeah.
Cantrell is there. Had a little conversation about Jason Entz with Zach Cantrell before I came on the air. So far, so good this Thursday afternoon. What's happening with you guys?
So,
what are the big storylines in Louisville, Kentucky today?
Well, we'll get to the big storyline. There's a football record or numbers that I want to get to you with. I want to talk a little football. Kentucky,
okay,
and Louisville starting to get those preseason predictions coming in, and both teams not wowing anybody right now in the national college football community, except for Greg McElroy loves the Cards, but he seems to be the only one.
But you
hit the nail on the head, starting off. I mean, Phil and I just went play by play on the Lachlan McClain, Jason Entz Twitter beef that erupted out of nowhere today, because who doesn't want to know Lachlan McClain's thoughts on soccer rule changes, which is fantastic. Fantastic. But yeah, you made up a great point in a text with Louis Rabeau and I that Ince is the elitist soccer guy. He just doesn't know it.
Yeah, but here's what I told Cantrell. Ince just he's just a fat American, and he just won't admit it. And he just needs to quit being soccer guy. We're all just fat Americans.
Right.
Come on, Ince. I got a little bit of that Ince action today. Oh,
Did you? Did you win?
I woke up. Well, big guy woke up. He's the gatekeeper.
He is.
He's the gatekeeper to all soccer.
He is.
He's the gatekeeper to all soccer.
Now, something that I do
miss.
there's many reasons I miss doing shows with you, Andy, but the daily soccer bets in the summertime where Ince would feed you bets and you and I were locked in on your TV in your
yeah.
office.
Yeah, he lost one 3 days ago. Were you in the text chain?
Oh yeah,
he lost one 3 days ago, and he said, "I'm not going to give any more picks." I'm like, "That's fine.
That's fine.
I lost money betting your under that immediately lost. I don't know what to tell you. It was the safe bet to go under in soccer.
Yes.
I mean, of course it was the safe bet. It was that damn Italian soccer match. That's what it was.
Ugh.
It was Ian Sofro soccer match.
That's
yep.
right.
That's what it was.
And obviously we
Ince
don't.
He owes me a winning bet.
He does owe you
a
winning bet.
So a winning bet. And by the end of the show, needs to send you a winning bet for everybody.
Okay,
today,
okay.
Tomorrow, something like that. He needs to redeem himself. He needs a winning bet. I don't know what to tell you.
The gauntlet has been laid.
I'm being a soccer guy, and I saw Locke lighting into him. I thought, that's great. Locke's got nothing to do today.
No.
He's got, you know, it's a slow day. He's got writers and producers, and Carolyn bought him a new shirt at Macy's. They had a 55%, you know, early July 4th sale.
Right.
Who's got it better than him right now? Honestly, he's outside. The kids are gone. He's in his mansion with the roundabout and the three porches. Like, honestly, Stribble's got it better than him.
No,
living the high life.
Not even me. Like,
he's living the high life.
It's the summer of Stribble, and Locke has me beat. I mean, he does. He's got me beat today. He was also complaining about the prices for the Olympic gear that Ralph Lauren has released. I did see that. So Lachlan McClain, he's not busy. He's in DMs. He's tweeting. He's replying. He's doing all of those things, which makes me eternally happy. So one of the sports topics that I wanted to bring up to you is our old buddy, Mike Branton, SEC Mike. He released.
Oh, Lord heaven, SEC Mike. Boy, that's June content. That's the gold. That's the good stuff. What a turn nugget.
Yes.
SEC Mike.
But I think. I mean,
not him. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Using his sound as a jumping off point to a segment, which we did many times.
Yeah.
It's such a just a turn.
It really is.
It really is just June radio turn.
Well,
it really is. So, what did SEC Mike say?
All right. It's an interesting. It's not interesting. I apologize. But he sent out some numbers. Okay,
right.
So SEC records since 2020, when Lane Kiffin, Eli
okay.
Drinkwitz, Sam Pittman, and Mike Leach, RIP, were all hired. Okay, here are the records.
Okay.
So this is from 2020 to 2023.
Okay.
Georgia 31-2, Alabama 31-3, Ole Miss 20-13, LSU 20-14, Florida surprisingly 19-15, A&M 18-15, Tennessee 17-17, Missouri 17-17, Mark Stoops in Kentucky 15-19. So
well, yeah, he doesn't win SEC, I mean, not that it doesn't happen, but, I mean, Stoops doesn't usually punch above his belt when it comes in the SEC, and somebody's been able to get him.
Right.
Right? I mean, isn't that the story? So what was your takeaway from
Well,
it?
I mean,
I did see this now.
Yeah.
SEC Mike, God bless him.
This is what I tweeted out. I said, this is why I view Stoops the way I do. He's fine. He's done well here. But to act like the program feels like it hasn't stalled or even isn't sliding isn't living in reality. And you know, this season, Andy, is Athlon Sports and Phil Steele and everybody. I mean, they all have Kentucky 6-6. Like everybody has Kentucky 6-6. And to me, with this schedule, I think 6-6 – he'd be lucky. Like, I'm almost tempted to go 5-7, but I look at the schedule, and when we used to take...
You know what I think?
Yeah. I you're firmly on 6-6 or 5-7, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I think? I've been saying this with Kentucky for months.
Yeah, well, even
saying this for months.
Even when
I'm just surprised so much of the national media is following along. Yeah, I've been thinking this for months that they're going to be lucky to be in a bowl.
Well, Stoops says he has nationally lost the shine that he once had, where you had all these gatekeepers of college football were like, oh yeah, the way Stoops has coached Kentucky and no one can win at Kentucky like Stoops has, and all the narratives that we've heard from guests that you booked, you know, for the years that we did radio together. That would, you know, they'd powder Stoops' booty a little bit.
Everyone loves Stoops.
Yeah.
Everyone. Nationally, everybody. There are not many guys that are, I mean, he is, I don't know if he's universally loved, Treble, but he is very respected and well-regarded.
Yes.
Mark Stoops is. for his record, his lack thereof. And what's funny is Kentucky fans would always fight me on that. And yes. The reality is that the reason they feel that way about Stoops is because they have no respect for your program.
That's
the reason.
100%.
You can fight about it, but the reality is that they think you're such the, you know, the back end of the SEC that he can have these numbers and none of them matter, and nor will he be penalized, nor has his boss done anything but reward him for these numbers, right?
Right, and even like the games that you used to take for granted on the schedule, like for instance, they play South Carolina the second game of the season, and it's at Kroger Field. But I mean, South Carolina, you can't take that for granted anymore. They've won the last two games, and they won a game last year in South Carolina. But by all means, Kentucky should have won. They had the game won, and they just could not close the deal in the second half. And like, I can't take Ole Miss for granted. I can't take Auburn for granted. Like there's games on the schedule that 2-3 years ago I would have said, okay, that's a win. I can't do that right now with Kentucky football, especially with our buddy Chris Hatfield put out the tweet today. Like what positions on the team do you feel like have improved? What positions do you think have taken a step back? And I said, I feel like with the addition of that linebacker, middle linebacker from Georgia, I feel like the linebacker room has improved, but the running back room. What the hell's the running back room? Like they don't have any running backs that have rushed over 1,000 yards in any conference anywhere ever. So it's just a weird place to be with Mark Stoops with all the questions around the offense and instability. Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Because we agree. I mean, there's nothing I can fight you on.
Right.
I agree. I've been feeling this way about this upcoming Kentucky football season. Part of it is their schedule. Like I don't know, are they better than Auburn, Streetball? Are they
going
to win at Florida? Again, you mentioned, it's odd besides Vanderbilt. I mean, like, is Louisville and Florida a for-sure thing? That has been a for-sure thing.
Sure.
I mean, that has been a for-sure thing.
Yeah.
Is beating Florida and is beating Louisville with different coaches, I might add.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, do you feel that? I guess my question number one is, do you feel that way about Louisville and Florida? Because I mean, I would mostly agree with you. I think Vanderbilt, the non-con games,
sure.
But then you get down to the nuts and bolts. I mean, the question would be, if you're saying that, it's going to be that much on the edge, then it would be those two games. And then the second thing I would pose to you is I think I know your answer to this. I agree with you. And I know you know this. You are doing something that is literally, you're the hamster wheel with
yeah,
the story.
I am. Yes.
This is every year. I mean, you're just doing a variation of it this year, right?
Right.
I mean, really, that's what you're just doing, the updated 2024, part of what we did every year in talking about Kentucky football. If you had a new coach, if Stoops had taken the A&M job, let's live in that world.
Okay.
And you had a new coach, and let's be honest, you were probably going to hire a coordinator.
Yep.
Or you were going to hire a group of five coach, probably.
Yeah.
Don't you feel that way?
I agree.
That's how I feel. That's the way. Okay, so you would agree with that,
yes,
right? Even John Summerall would have fit that mold, right?
100% he would have.
Stoops left, you got John Summerall. He's coming from Troy. He would have fit that mold. He's a guy you know. But, I mean, let's say if it's John Summerall even. Throw his name in there. I wasn't even thinking about it.
It's a good one.
Way. And they were going to be about 6-6, how would you feel?
Is
it simply because Stoops has been there? I would contend what would make you feel better in Kentucky fans, if somebody with a football acumen would have the conversation you're having.
Yes.
Because we did it. Cerebral, we were the old, I mean, Locke did it on radio his way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you understood it, his way.
That's
okay?
The way he did things, yes.
But when we would do, what do you mean, Cerebral, you're doing the same story you've done eight different times.
Yeah.
You're using SEC Mike lists. You're doing what, this is the yearly thing. And I guess that to me would be, those are the questions I would pose at you. But I think you would even feel better if someone would even somebody would even question Stoops. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm talking nationally.
Yes.
Because locally, we know how it goes. Stoops gets the love. He gets the love.
Yeah.
And then he loses a game or two he shouldn't. You want to fire him twice during the year. He beats Louisville. You love him. You don't care about the ball game anymore. And we rinse and repeat. And we talk about SEC Mike in June. That's what you do every single year, right? So if Greg McElroy was coming out saying, him, okay?
Yeah.
If he came out and was questioning Mark Stoops and his coaching acumen, or one of these big-time college football voices was doing it,
Cole Kublik,
I wonder how Kentucky fans would react.
That's a great question, because I think that
It's never happened.
It never has happened, but I think that because of last year and the way the Liam Cohen 2.0 was a failure, and what happened with losing to South Carolina, and then, yeah, you beat Louisville, but then you followed the – and the bowl game to me mattered in this respect. You had Clemson dead to rights. You had them beat. And you, once again, you fumbled it again. I think there was some pushback from Kentucky fans the way they ended that game and, again, gave the game away. They had like a two-touchdown lead going into the fourth quarter and couldn't put them away. And I think that raised some eyebrows. And I think it will take Andy either going 6-6 or 5-7, where the majority of BBN and even his most staunch defenders would be like, okay, well, okay, wait a minute now. Now we're questing things, because now it does feel like if he stays 7-5, 8-4, that range, there will be no pushback. If he goes 7-5 again this season, it'll be exactly like you just said. It'll be rinse and repeat. He beat Louisville. He beat Florida. He goes to some bowl game. It is what it is. But if he loses to either Florida or Louisville, and now you're staunchly in 6-6, 5-7 range, that to me will change the conversation. And then you'll have the new conversation. Well, does it need to be a Calipari thing where now we need a new voice, where Stoops steps away and says, I've done this for this many years. This needs a new. Is that Ruby or is that Ramon? Which one was that?
It's Ruby hollering at nobody. She's just laying in the grass yelling.
I miss
right
her.
Now. That's all she does.
I love it.
She just grumps. She like literally just sits there like an old lady and just, Ruby, be quiet. And just grumps at nobody.
She just went, oh.
Yeah, Ramon has a nice little dirt patch that he's been laying in lately. I'm not exactly sure what he's up to.
He's up to something.
Ramon lives in an area where everyone loves pit bulls. So he's having a very good time. People love him.
So not only are you and Nikki treating him like a big baby, everyone else is now too.
Yeah, he has a dog girlfriend as well.
Oh,
so he feels pretty good about himself right now.
You're damn right.
Down the street. So he's feeling good about himself, right? Yeah. So anyway, I actually disagree with you. I think if he goes 7-5, people are going to be like coach of the year in the SEC type stuff.
Yeah. No. That's what I'm saying. I think 7-5.
If he's 6-6, you're rinse and repeat.
What about 5-7?
5-7, I think you get some eyebrows. I think 5-7, you get eyebrows raised. I think that's the only way.
Okay.
That's the only way, because Strebel, they can always use the, you know, he's made so many straight bowl games against you.
Right.
The bowl game for a guy like Mark Stoops, not winning the bowl game, but being in the bowl game, has value to Mark Stoops. It doesn't to Ryan Day or, you know, the genius Jeff Brohm or any of these people, you know, but it does for like Kirk Cignetti.
Right.
Okay.
Sig.
It's going to, so they can say however many straight bowl games for Mark Stoops. That's why I would disagree.
Okay.
5-7 would make 5-7, because there is a clear line in the sand there. 5-7 would make the people who back Mark Stoops to the end at least have to put up their shields. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
at least have to do something. If they go 7-5 and they beat, you know, they have a ranked win and they beat Louisville, they have a couple fine wins, they can still lose to a South Carolina or a Florida lose by 35 to Tennessee or whatever it may be,
right.
Lose big by Georgia, never really be in the game, and none of that will matter.
Right.
None of it will matter.
No, I'm with you. I think 7-5, it's the same old, but I think the conversation changes with 5-7. Now, the other side of it, the Louisville side, is these national publications that are picking Kentucky 6-6 and 12th in the SEC. They're not thinking too much of Jeff Brohm's debut and going to the ACC championship game. They're being picked 6th in the ACC, and they're being picked 7-5 routinely by a lot of these publications, which I was surprised at, because the Louisville fans feel like they've upgraded on defense. They feel like they upgraded at the quarterback position, that they're better on the offensive line because they had a lot of guys return, and that was a pretty good offensive line last season. So Louisville fans have been kind of battling the Phil Steeles of the world because 7-5 is on the table, at least according to Steele. But I wonder how that conversation would be, because the tough thing for Brohm, where Stoops can continue to go 7-5 into these bowl games, but Brohm has to follow up ACC championship game, and how tough that's going to be. I'm interested to see what the reaction with Louisville fans would be if the record is a 7-5.
Wow, so you're telling me you think if they go 7-5 that they're not going to be kissing Brohm rear end?
Is that
what you're telling me?
I think that would be Mark Blankenbaker's time to pounce. I think Mark Blankenbaker secretly in his heart of hearts, Mr. I buy a Louisville shirt every time they win. I think that people like Blankenbaker that aren't fully bought into Brohm the way Diener and others are, that gives them the chance. There's not that many people around there. Mark Blankenbaker is like the one that comes to mind.
I was about to say. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like. Boy, I tell you, it's tough. I heard the Greg McElroy stuff about how they're being devalued. I tell you, last year they escaped so many times, Freeble.
They did,
and a little bit. This is not apples to apples, but everyone knows I'm a Giants fan. You know, remember when they went to the playoffs and they won a playoff game with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, well, Dabo's first season.
Remember that? Yeah, it was his first season. And, that was, that set the bar that has, of course, not been close to met. But that set the bar. And, they came back that next year and there was a lot of hoopla and they fell on their face. I'm not saying Louisville's going to fall on their face. I got to be honest. I don't know what to think of Louisville.
I'm just with you.
I get stuck with, I don't understand why Jeff Brohm doesn't have a better quarterback.
Yeah.
For the life of me, his quarterback lost him the ACC championship last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Jeff Brohm is an offensive coach, and when we go, whether it be the Governor's Cup or it just be some of these games, I'm kind of feeling, besides maybe a team or two on their schedule, that Jeff Brohm should have the best quarterback play.
He should.
Like, if Brohm's not having the best quarterback play, because I think the point here is close games, 50-50 games that remind me of the Giants winning a bunch of close games. That was kind of the bad analogy that I made. I didn't finish the analogy. They won a bunch of, so many 50-50 games went their way. Like, crazy things would happen. So, A, does it even out? And B, it's a small picture and a big picture. Why doesn't Jeff Brohm have, to me, elite quarterback play? And you can say, well, Purdue, he did this or that. Well, this is not Purdue.
Right.
This is not. I don't want to hear about Purdue. I mean, since when would a Louisville fan put themselves in the same conversation as Purdue
right.
football? I surely do not know one Louisville fan listening to this that would do that. Okay? So, to me, this is not Purdue. It's not. Okay, that was that, but that's seen very much as a back end of the Big Ten. This is seen, and even what they did last year, team that can contend in the ACC. I mean, I don't know, Strebel. I just have so little respect for ACC football as a whole.
Right.
Like, they've had Virginia on the schedule. I mean, why aren't they going to win that? I mean, I don't know. Jeff Brohm by year two can't beat Virginia on the road. What are we doing? I hate to be like that, and maybe Virginia will be better. But I look at the first, 7-8 weeks of the season, And I mean, do we have to do the Miami thing again? I mean,
they're doing it
behind Miami. I mean, I bet huge last year that they would beat Miami. Now they almost lost. Remember,
they almost lost.
Mary?
Yeah,
crazy game. And again, another 50-50 type game that went their way. Like, dude dropped a touchdown or something in the end zone. Like, a bunch of crazy stuff happened in that game. But, you know, I mean, I think Louisville beat Miami at home. Why would they not? I mean,
yeah.
Miami. What are we doing here?
They're doing it again.
Looking at their schedule through mid to late October, and it's Boston College, Virginia, SMU, Georgia Tech. I mean, Jeff Brom's losing a couple of those games. That's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying is going to happen.
Yeah.
They're gonna lose to. I took Notre Dame and I threw it away. That they're gonna lose to Virginia. That they're gonna lose to Miami or a Georgia Tech or somebody like that. And
sure.
I mean. I don't know. If they start doing that, then my Blankenbaker might have been right. How about that?
he may have been right. Andy Sweeney with this 107.5 The Fan, the wake up call, 7 to 10 a.m. on that station. We'll check out what our man Andy Sweeney's up to. But no, you're right. I mean, Greg McElroy mentioned Tyler Shuck and how great he thinks he is. And you know, Jeff Brom's rolling the dice on a guy that's never been healthy. I mean, it's very much like Stoops rolling the dice on Brock Vandergriff, who just played mop up work for Carson Beck last season. And one would think that Jeff Brom would have a higher ranked or highly touted transfer quarterback than Tyler Shuck. And look, Tyler Shuck might come out there and stay healthy and kill it. We were saying the same thing about Devin. It's very interesting. It's the exact same conversation we had with Devin about Devin Leary last season
but people knew Leary.
Yeah.
People watch Leary. No one's ever seen this guy play.
Right.
Nobody.
Leary had the ACC Player of the Year moniker that went along with him as well. But it was like, oh, if he stays healthy, he's gonna light it up. And he was healthy, and he didn't light it up because Liam Cohen was a buffoon. But it's interesting the way that the national media isn't thinking about Jeff Brom the way he's thought of here locally. I just thought that to be a fascinating conversation. It's a big season for both, you know, act two for Jeff Brom. Now, did you see Calipari's been making the rounds talking to Jim Rome and Dan Patrick, and he let something slip.
Did he? By the way, I think Louisville should go 9-3. I think if Louisville fans expect anything less than 9-3, it's a problem. Sorry.
Yeah.
Your schedule's a bum schedule. I don't want to hear in the ACC. It's a bunch of bums. Miami means nothing. Virginia means nothing. Boston College means nothing. Let's see, you lose to Notre Dame and Clemson. I mean, you got Stanford. You got Pitt at home. You get the revenge game with them. How
much
you beat Kentucky once in a while? Right. I mean, you know what I'm
sure,
saying?
Sure. Yeah.
Like to me, if I'm a Louisville fan, I actually would go. I don't know if anyone has done this. I want to be clear. So I do not know. I would go in and I would counter with. You know, hey, I expect to be 9-3, and if we beat Kentucky, I expect to be 10-2.
Yeah, and I think
that would be the way I would view the season. Otherwise, I think you will. The reason I would have 9-3 is you lose the two biggies on the road, Clemson,
and Notre Dame,
and then you know one along the line slips up. Last year, Pittsburgh was that.
Sure.
This year could be somebody else. I don't know. Somebody gets up and they bite you. That's where you get the 9-3. And yeah, I'm expecting Jeff Brom and the bravado to beat Kentucky.
Yeah,
I am. I absolutely am with the rhetoric that I have heard about this team and everything else. Sure, why not? Beat Kentucky. I mean, no one has respect for Kentucky. They have no respect.
No, zero respect. Even though they've won 5 straight, it's still Kentucky's a bunch of bums and Mark Stoops sucks and all this, that, and the other.
Yep.
The same rinse and repeat. Now, what John?
All right, so give me the Cal stuff.
All right, what he let slip was one of the reasons that he left Kentucky was because he wouldn't be able to hire Brad Calipari on his staff like he's able to at Arkansas, which I found that to be beautiful. Like one of the reasons he flat out said, he's like, well, I get an opportunity to hire Brad on my staff, and you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that. He didn't say that specifically. I wouldn't have been able to do that at Kentucky, but I think that was one of the things for Mitch Barnhart was like, no, he got that whole staff got fired with Jerry Stackhouse. You're not hiring Brad Calipari here again, but of course, he has the keys to the kingdom with the Tyson Chicken family, so he's able to hire Brad. He's taking him on all these recruiting trips now. I'm sure you saw that wonderful photo of Brad and Chin Coleman. Dressed like middle schoolers.
At
that Big Nike event.
By the way, where's Big O at? Where's our Antigua? Where did he end up?
He's back in Illinois. He's back in Illinois. Yeah. He's going head to head with Mark Pope, John Calipari, for Jasper Johnson, who's the 5-star player out of Woodford County. So it'll be those three vying for his talents. He also another one. Mark Pope had Will Riley.
Come on, Cal. I am so all in. If he walked into Kentucky and got a kid, that would be, I don't think he will. You know, UBBN guys will salt this kid enough that he'll end up going to Kentucky with Mark Pope and everything.
Yeah.
But if Cal walked in there with
getting Woodford County.
I don't know. Part of me is like, okay, that's I actually like that, you know, the Mitch Barnhart, but that is, I mean, I'm sorry, you're in big time athletics. That's a pretty petty thing, is it not? I mean,
right.
how do you view it? I'm not surprised by it, but I mean that would be a thing if Mark Stoops hired his brother.
Right. Oh, of course. Yes, Mike Stoops, the great.
Mike Stoops. Did Mike Stoops already get a raise or two while Kentucky's winning 7 games and losing a bowl game?
Oh, of course.
Mike Stoops has got some raises already at Kentucky. I mean, we did those segments, Reebol.
Yes.
About the Mike Stoops raise.
Absolutely.
And Mike Stoops, and didn't he have like an attractive wife?
Oh, yeah.
Like he's godly. And so I love it, but I mean, that's Mitch Barnhart saying Brad's not qualified.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
On your staff.
Yes,
and I'm going to flash my power if that's true. I believe it to be true. And I wonder if Cal slipped there, or you know, he's like Patino. He also can be very calculated. So I don't know if Cal's just becoming an old man and you know had a Biden moment, or if he legit. Like I don't know if he had a Biden moment, or you know if he knew what he was doing by saying that, seeing if anyone would pick up on it.
Right, and you're right. I mean, Calipari generally is very measured in what he says, and everything he says has a message or has some tentacle that he wants to get out there. And I think he wanted to get out there that you know Mitch Barnhart was hindering who I could and couldn't hire, and my son was caught there squarely in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what he was trying to do.
Mitch was right. Imagine you guys losing the tournament like you have, and then bringing Brad in.
Oh,
I mean, you know how I mean that the jokes on that would have been monumental. All right, before I get out of here,
yes,
well, give me an update on anything I need to know. What's going on around the station?
You know,
is there
not
any battles.
No,
is Diener going to Nashville or not going to Nashville? What's just big picture? What's happening right now? I know Rummage is. I've heard many good things about Rummage.
Yes.
His assistant coaching.
Dollywood.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited. Oh, is it Dollywood? Okay. Say hello to Larry.
Yeah.
While you're there.
Larry Botts there.
Yeah. Will be there. So what's going on? Anything? It sounds like nothing.
It's been really quiet around here lately, honestly. Like, ever since the Nashville stuff and Diener's kind of moving on from that and some other things, it's been pretty quiet around here. Blank's arm is okay. I saw him the other day. Oh, you'll love this.
Good.
So Phil Baker was trying very hard to get some Nolan Smith gear at the Goodwill, because as you know, when these coaches get fired, they just get rid of all their stuff. Well, there was a listener named Travis that hit Blankenbaker up.
Yeah,
he brought him a Nolan Smith like warm-up shirt, and it had Nolan Smith's name on the tag. So Blank was peacocking around with that. I believe that was Tuesday he was in here, and he was showing off his new Nolan Smith swag, which I love. And look,
nice.
Pat Kelsey may have to play Nolan Smith, because if Penny hires him, like that deal with Memphis and Louisville getting it home is almost done. So not only do you get Chris Beard coming to the Yum Center this fall, you could get Nolan Smith's return, not this season, but next season, which would be all kinds of interesting. Like, I can't wait to have the Smith family trying to track Diener down again the way they did when Kenny Payne was the coach. It warms my heart. It makes me eternally happy.
He'll be in a suite. Yeah, just go up to the suite level. he'll be the suite level. Double D will be in the suite level. I know where he'll be. Have they not hired Nolan Smith yet? What would take so long?
That,
3 weeks ago, this story came out.
The rumor is this is a little birdie told me. And I don't know why this is the case, because Danny Manning got a job right away. Kenny Payne got a job right away. But I think this is something being floated by the Smith camp, is that he can't officially take a job until July 1st. That's the story I'm hearing.
the new fiscal year or whatever.
Right, yes.
New fiscal year, so I don't know if that matters. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying that because you see things switch over and kind of you see things happen on July 1st. Okay, I'm fine with that. Well,
yeah.
That's interesting. I'm sad there's no big stories going on.
Nothing.
I mean, what the hell? What are you guys up to? Nothing?
Well, Zach Cantrell dropped a bomb on me earlier today. Apparently, his apartment, there's an outdoor pool that he's been frequenting and said the scenery's pretty good. So, old Zachy C, he's having a summer himself. Oh, yeah. That's what he said.
Okay, that could be true, but Streeble, me and you have been to these apartment swimming pools.
That's yes.
I feel like I also need to say.
Yeah.
Not all of them are like, you know, the Vegas hotels, spring break with Blink-182 playing in the background in Phoenix TX.
Right.
It's not that.
It's not the Gold's pool.
I love Cantrell, but it ain't that. Yeah. OAR's not playing in the background like Cantrell's falling.
OAR.
Listen. There might be some things going on there that Cantrell likes and has the sunglasses on, but I've been to too many of these apartment complexes, and it's scary. Usually, it's scary.
Oh, it is.
Frankly.
We remember.
So and I don't know where Cantrell's living, so I have no idea.
Now we also one more update. So I do have something in common with Dan Issel. Like it's the one thing I have in common. But Louis was going to try to have him on his show today, but he couldn't get it worked out because Dan is in Cooperstown because his grandson is in a travel baseball tournament there. And I'll be in Cooperstown in 2 weeks for Kellen's travel baseball tournament. So Dan Issel is in Cooperstown, New York right now watching travel baseball. How about that?
Oh, well, it's too bad that you guys weren't there at the same time.
I know.
I mean, you would have been a big shot then.
Oh, hell yeah.
That would have been a big shot. You walking up in a Chili's or whatever it is to Big Is and give him that big old bear hug in the middle in public, these people wondering how you know the big man. How about that?
It would have been great. It was 2 weeks too soon, Andy, for Dan. It's or maybe I'm 2 weeks too late.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like 2 weeks too late. I would have been hobnobbing with Big Is in Cooperstown. But no, that's the only thing I have in common with him. He's at a travel ball tournament, and that's where I live. That's my life every weekend in the summer. So
is that what you're doing this weekend? Is this your weekend?
No.
Where are you going to be this weekend?
We're actually off this weekend, which is weird.
Gotcha. Wow, big weekend.
Oh yeah, going to a pool party.
What are the Streebles doing?
Pool party Saturday night.
Big deck time or?
Oh,
where's that at?
That's almost every night. Big deck time is almost every. No, this pool party will be. It's in the highfalutin part of Jeff. That's where I'll be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. That sounds
I knew
like
you
an in-ground
would.
Pool territory.
Oh, it's in-ground pool, 100%.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's a slide.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, of course there's a slide. Little goal to the side.
Oh, yeah.
Can Kellen get in? Is he going to hold his arm up, or is he going to be on the side sulking?
No, he can swim now. He can,
okay, good.
He can't do like, you know, the Michael Phelps freestyle, but he can get in the pool and wade around. He has the brace to where he can move his arm now. It's not locked into the 90-degree angle that it was for about 4 weeks. So he's doing a little physical therapy, but he's much better. He can straighten his arm out again. He's doing better. But no pitching, Andy. We can't pitch until next season.
Oh, that hurts me. Well,
I'm
at least
sorry.
He got his first surgery out of the way in baseball. You know, just one or two more, man.
Be good exactly. We'll be good to
just
go.
One or two more.
Well, buddy, I appreciate
you'll be
you.
Good to go.
I appreciate finally. You coming on. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, appreciate you having on, coming on Thursday and enjoy whatever you're doing up there in Indianapolis and living the life with the dogs and the baby and the breweries and everything you're doing up there, man. So I'm glad you're killing it. Glad everything's going well.
All right, well, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
Talk next week. All right, there we go. Our man Andy Sweeney, 107.5 The Fan. All right, we're late for a break. We'll take one and come back and wrap up the show. Me and Zach Cantrell here on The Roundtable.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
I knew what he wouldn't play zone, or I thought he tricked me.
Welcome back to the round, Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Man, these sounds will never go away. It makes me happy to get Kenny Payne rejoins. It's the roundtable here on ESPN 680 1057. I'm James Strebel. Zach Cantrell going to hang out with me for the last 15 minutes or so. Of the show right after us. Soccer City, 6 p.m. here on ESPN 680 1057. Catch it every Thursday, Wednesdays, always Louisville Sports Live, 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Friday, tomorrow, Inside Churchill Down, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680 1057. Down the Stretch, 9 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville, followed by the Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Lightsey, 10 to 11 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And then Sunday, the Sunday Morning Hangover, Phil Baker, Nick Kern, Zach Cantrell, here on ESPN 680 1057. Okay, you'll like this, Zach. So yesterday I get a text from our friend Jeff Lightsey, and we're going to have a special guest tomorrow at 3 p.m. on the show. How about that? J.J. Weaver will be joining me and Jeff Lightsey on the show because he has a football camp that he's promoting, the Perfect Fit Football Camp, hosted by J.J. Weaver. Free food and drinks, free T-shirts, free giveaways. Co-host, former NFL receiver Mikhail McKay will be there. Special guest Octavius Oxendine and others. That's June 22nd, 10 till 2 p.m. So there we go. We'll talk to J.J. Weaver more about that tomorrow. So, yeah, Jeff Lightsey and I will be interviewing J.J. Weaver. So how about that,
there you
Zach?
Go.
You like
okay.
that?
I do like that.
I do, too. So what are your thoughts on, and it's the roundtable here, ESPN 680-1057. What are your thoughts on this entire J.J. Redick stuff? We haven't really got to talk much about it. Because, you know, we had other things, nonsense that we had to get to, like Lachlan McClain versus Jason Entz. But it just feels like to me, this is a desperation hire. It's just they whiffed on Dan Hurley. The Lakers, one of the big boy jobs in the NBA. Now you get a guy in J.J. Weaver whose coaching resume is
J.J.
what?
Redick.
Sorry, J.J. Redick. Sorry, not J.J.
Weaver. J.J. Weaver might have been a better
hire.
Yes,
exactly. J.J. Redick, whose coaching, his coaching resume is what exactly?
There is no coaching experience. Like, it's only happened a couple times where it's actually worked. Mark Jackson worked to a degree with Golden State.
He did.
Steve Kerr obviously has worked with Golden State. I don't think he'd ever coached before, but the difference is he'd been a general manager, so
right.
He'd been around the game.
He'd been
before.
Around the game in a managerial way, where J.J. Redick's been around the game in a media way, in an entertainment way. It'd be like hiring, I don't know, Charles Barkley or Shaquille O'Neal to be the coach. Like they're
I hope somebody does that just for the entertainment of it.
Oh, I need Charles Barkley.
I would love to
coach.
See Charles Barkley coach.
Oh, 1,000%.
That would be be the best possible experience.
Any NBA talking gas bag that I could get coaching an NBA team, it 100% would be Charles Barkley. On the NFL side, I just don't. There's not as many colorful characters.
Yeah.
That commentate on the NFL.
Romo would be interesting.
Romo would be interesting just to see if he could, you know, if he could keep it together and not drive everyone there crazy,
because he predicts the plays.
Exactly.
So he
yes.
should know what's going on.
But there aren't that many. I mean, he's probably is like the biggest personality when it comes to NFL announcers.
I would say so. Yeah.
TV, because you look at the TV shows. I mean, Terry Bradshaw's interest, like, kind of funny, but,
he's up getting up there.
He's getting up there. I mean, Howie Long, he's boring. Michael Strahan is Mr. Nice Guy, hosting the $100,000 pyramid. That doesn't do anything for me.
The CBS guys are pretty much all the same.
Oh, yeah,
the
Boomer Esiason.
He's not on the show anymore.
Oh, yeah, he's not. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he and Bill Sims aren't doing
it. Yeah, Bill Sims and Boomer are out.
Yeah.
But Bill Cowher, I mean, he's made it. I mean, he could have taken a job 2 decades ago and refused to, so he's not going anywhere. But, yeah, nope. There's not those interesting talking heads in the NFL the way there are in the NBA with Shaq and Barkley
and Kenny Smith and what that show's going away. So I mean,
that was a bigger story than the finals itself.
It was.
The finals was just
boring.
Boring.
Exactly.
There was nothing there. And boy, there was some egg on ESPN's face because they got rid of Jeff Van Gundy, partly because they were worried that he was going to get back into coaching. And
sure.
Now Doc Rivers, who they originally hired, of course, back in coaching with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Now J.J. Redick, the head coach of the Lakers. So their reasoning didn't work out so well. It turns out Jeff Van Gundy's now an assistant with the Clippers.
He is. Yeah, he's
an
assistant.
He wasn't actively looking to get back into coaching. So ESPN, bad move.
Bad moves all around by ESPN. Now, what did you think about this story that they're now moving closer and closer, which they continue to move closer and closer. Like, okay, how much closer can we get to expanding the NCAA tournament? And you know, instead of the field of 68, it'll be the field of 96 or 76 or whatever it may be.
Stop trying to expand what's already a perfect format. The NCAA tournament is one of the few things in sports that is absolutely perfect. Now, I guess if I'm going to make one change, it would be that the teams that get the automatic bids don't have to play in the first four.
Right.
I think the last eight at-large teams should have to play in the first four games. I don't think if you're a 16 seed, you should have to win another game.
I agree.
You can say, oh, now we can play in the NCAA tournament. If you win your way into the tournament, you're in the tournament.
Right.
So the last eight should be the first four. But we already have 68 teams. I was fine with it being 64. I'm good with it being 68.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason to let more mediocrity in
the
NCAA tournament.
We don't need Wake Forest in the tournament.
We don't.
I'm sorry, we don't. We don't need Wake Forest. We don't need Ole Miss if they can't make it. Too bad, so
because
sad.
Because you know that's who they would give it to. They wouldn't give it to the team that wins the regular season title and then gets upset in the conference tournament. They wouldn't give it to those small conference teams. They'd give it to the mediocre SEC team or Big Ten team that goes 18-15 and
right.
sneaks their way into the tournament. Nobody wants to see that.
Rutgers.
Like, yeah, exactly.
There's no clamoring for Rutgers to be in the tournament except for Rutgers fans.
The NCAA tournament is perfect. Stop trying to ruin it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. All right, one more question for you because this is down your path. This is a layup for you.
Yeah.
So Ohio State has come out and said, you know, there's the new rule with the $20 million, and if the school has $20 million, you can use that and divvy it up between all your programs.
Yep.
Ohio State has already come out and said, yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
Like, we're good to go. Ohio State's running. I mean, Ryan Day already paid a king's ransom for this year's roster, which he should. I mean, if you're Ryan Day in Ohio State, you had the money, go get the best.
Anybody who's blaming them or trying to cheapen that in any way is insane.
Yeah.
Because every fan would want their team to do the exact same thing. And
yeah.
If you have money, spend it.
If you have the blank check that Ryan Day has at Ohio State and say, okay,
yes.
we will give you whatever you want. Just get us in the – not only get us in the playoff, but win the damn thing.
That's what bothers me about owners that are billionaires that don't spend money on their teams. Like, why own a sports team or why be involved with sports if you're not willing to spend to try to win?
Well, the dude down Jacksonville.
Yes.
Yeah, he comes to mind. The Cons. The family.
The guys who own the Pirates.
And they, yeah, the guys who own the Pirates and all that. It's like, if you have the money, if you're
spend
a billionaire. Spend the money. Make your franchise more interesting for your fans. Make it more desirable for free agents to go there.
Guess what happens when you play playoff games at home? You make money.
You make money. You make more money. Who doesn't want to make more? You got to spend. Hey, like Calipari said.
Spend money to make money.
You got it. Scared money don't make money. That's what
right.
John Calipari used to say when he was the coach and he was shouting out his one-liners to John Wong and Oscar Combs and everybody else. He would say, scared money don't make money. But, I mean, Ohio State's not scared of money.
No, they're handling it exactly how they should be handling it. And I know people at Louisville weren't too happy when I said big boy programs do big boy things, but that's what Ohio State's doing.
Well,
right
Josh Hurd already came out and said to Eric Crawford, like, and I'm not saying that Mitch Barnhart does. I'm not.
Yeah.
He hadn't said one way or the other if they had the money, but Josh Hurd flat out said to Eric Crawford, we don't have $20 million lying around to do this.
Yeah.
And that's the. I'm surprised, too, Zach, that more of these upper echelon blue bloods of college football have come out like Ohio State and said, yeah, we got to mean.
Well, that's because the Big Ten has the most lucrative television deal of all of them.
I mean,
they're getting oodles and oodles of money.
Michigan should be coming out and saying it, too.
Absolutely. Georgia should say it.
Georgia, Alabama, LSU.
LSU, Penn State. All the big boy programs in the Big Ten, the SEC, I think they're financially.
Texas.
They're fine. Yeah, Texas.
Like, Texas is another one. They're swimming in money.
Texas is the one that stands out more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Them and Texas A&M always, every year, it seems like they make the most money of all those teams. It's Texas A&M, Ohio State, Michigan, it's the same teams every year. Oregon.
Yeah. Oregon.
That's all the Nike money.
Phil Knight. They've got the Phil Knight Nike money. Why? But I do like Ohio State being aggressive.
Absolutely.
And it's just going to lure more people to Ohio State.
I mean, they're already the number one recruiting class for next year. They're number one for 2026. They had a top five class. There's a reason that they are not a window program. You know,
right.
People say, oh, 2024 is make or break for Ryan Day. Is it? Ohio State, it's championship or bust every single season.
Every season, you're not going to get away from that. Yeah,
there is no, oh, this year is better than most years. Like, no, that's every year at Ohio State. That's every year at Alabama. That's every year at Georgia.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Zach. I just found it interesting that they were really the first team to come out and say, this is not an issue for us.
No.
We'll pay whoever we need to pay. All right, well, it's been a fun show. Zach Cantrell, Phil Baker, and I, you know, talked a lot of nonsense as we normally do. And then Andy coming on, the Blitz guys, fantastic job by them as always. Now, tomorrow, for the first segment, as I said, I'll have Jeff Leitze with me, and we'll be talking to J.J. Weaver. And then after that, we'll have Max Godby, try to get a guest in there as well. And then we'll have our mixtape brought to you by Justin Sofro and James Black. So, I mean, I hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. I have a couple of errands to run. Then about 9 p.m. tonight, your boy's going to be floating in the pool with a few cold drinks and a Zen popped in, which I do like this, Zach. I had to say this before I leave. I was sent this, golly, where'd it go? It was to Nick Valvano and I, and I've got to see who sent the tweet. But basically, the Pope has come out and said that that Zens are not a sin. That I knew you like that. Here it is. Blankenbaker sent it to us. It's right here. Vatican declares Zen is not a sin. So there you go, me being a Catholic, this makes me happy. You were okay with drinking, and now we're okay with Zen. So there
I like
we go.
The Pope. At first, when you said the Pope, I was wondering if you were talking about the
Mark
actual Pope.
Pope
or Mark.
No, this is Pope Francis, the man living in the Vatican.
How about that?
How about that? So the Zen that I have in right now and the can I have in my pocket is not against Vatican doctrine. So there we go. All right, everyone have a great evening. Soccer City coming up next here on ESPN 680 105.7.